Today's daf is Psachim Daf Nun Zayin. We are 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis, the two dots, V'noisnin Pe'el Yerek. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Dvorah Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Tovar Rivka Esther Bas Hencher Genendel, Buri Yechana Bas Bracha Rivka, and Doiv Beryl Ben Dvorah Miril. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus V'yecheskel Shraga Ben Miril, and Le'ilu Nishmas Avram, Ben Yibod L'Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So we're in middle of the Gemara's analysis of the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis, which discuss six customs of the Anche Yerichai. Al Shloisha, the Mishnah said, Michu B'yadam, V'al Shloisha, Loi Michu B'yadam. Meaning, it seems that all six of these customs were really Shloi B'tzayin Chachamim. The Chachamim were not in agreement with. They didn't really like it. Three of them, they felt, was so not good that it warranted a macha. The other three, they turned a blind eye. They made believe that it didn't happen. The Gemara said that there was really another nusach of what the Chachamim's approach to the six minhagim of the Anche Yerichai was. Not that they didn't like all six, al shloisha michu v'al shloisha loy michu, but rather three of them were bertzoin Chachamim, and three of them were shloy bertzoin Chachamim. Either way, the sixth of the six minhagim, the last of the three that were not so good was v'noisnim pe'el yerek. They would give peya even from vegetables. So peya is one of the matnas aniyim that the Torah talks about. Literally, it means the edge, the ek of the field. The Torah says, loisechala pasotcha, you have to leave the corner of the field over for the aniyim. The mitzvah of peya is really supposed to be given from fruit. They went and they gave peya even from vegetables, and that was a bad thing. Says the Gemara, I don't understand the minig of the Anche Yericha. Don't the Anche Yericha know the following Mishnah? We already established that the Anche Yericha were really good people. They were upkehit in a yidin. They just had certain customs that the Chachamim didn't like. So it's not like this was a hefkeris. And if anything, this is a chumrah that they were noisnin peyem miyarek. So the Gemara says, why would they have done it? It's a Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Klal amru bepeya. The following rule was said with regards to peya. So this is the peya cheat sheet. Kol shu oich. If something is a food, v'nishmar, it's protected. V'gedulim in the earth, it grows in the ground. U'lekitasa ka'achas, it's something that's harvested at once. U'machnisoi l'kiyum, and it's something that people can store away for a long time. Chaya b'peya. Meaning, if you could check off all five of these boxes, there's a chiyav peya. However, if one of these five cannot be checked off, there's no mitzvah peya. And the Gemara explains, kol shu oichel, when the Mishnah said that it has to be an oichel, as opposed to what? What's not an oichel? Prat l'sfiche satis v'koitza. If you would have plants that people plant not to eat, but rather to use as dyes or for something else, that plant would not be chayv and peya because it's not oichel. V'nishmar. When the Mishnah says it has to be something that's protected, pra hefker. Hefker is hefker. The gedulim in haaretz, what's that coming to exclude? Pra lekameim apitrius, as opposed to mushrooms and truffles, which are not yoinek directly from the ground. Ulikitasa ge'achas, something that people gather at once. Pra leteinim. A teina, you can have a tree where different teinim are going to ripen at different times. As a result, it's not likitasa ge'achas. Today you're going to be malakit this, and then you'll come back in a week, you'll be malakit something else. And what does the Mishnah mean when it says that the only time you chayv and peya is if the food is something that you can store for a long time? Probably yerek, as opposed to a vegetable. So it would seem pretty clear then from our Mishnah that vegetables are potter from the halacha pe. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, my Rav. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, hacha berashe lefasei saskin. We're talking about the leaves of a lefes, of a turnip. And this is unique, because although the Rashi lefases themselves are not something that people store away, however, the root of the lefes is something that people do store away. So if you have the ale attached to the root, you will put the ale away for a long time, not because you're storing the ale, but rather because you're storing the root. What's then the machlek? It's marsav machnis l'kim ha'davar achash mekiyim. The people in Yerichai held that that's enough to make it machnisoy l'kiyim. And if that's the case, you could give peyo. Marsav aloish mekiyim, and the chachamim held not that way, that it's really not considered a kiyim, and as a result, you're not going to be chayv and pey. Tanu rabbanan, more on this on Parashayinu. In the beginning, in the early days, how you noisen and peyo, lefes v'likruv. So the people that lived in Yerichai, they used to give peya from lefes, like we just mentioned, l'kruv. and from Karib. Rabbi Yosef says Afla Kaflut. They would also give from Kaflut. Vatan Yiduch learned in another bride, so how you nice and pay a lefes for the Kaflut. They used to originally give payah from lefes and Kaflut. Rabbi Shimon said Afla Kruf. So we have a machloikis tanoim in terms of the history of the payah that the Anshe Yericho used to give. Two prices. The first price says, in the early days, the Chachamim say, Hayu noisn and pale, a lefes for the kruv. Rabbi Yossi said, even kaflut. The second price said, they used to give from lefes and kaflut. Rabbi Shimon said, afle kruv. Now, at first glance, it would seem that if you combine the two prices together, we have three shitas in terms of what exactly the Anshe Yericho used to do. You have the Tanakam of the first shita, noisn and pale, lefes for the kruv. You have the Tanakama of the second Braisa, Lelefes Vilakaflut, and then you have Rabbi Yosef and Reb Shimon, who said in the first Braisa Aflakaflut, in the second Braisa Aflakruv, which seems to say that they always used to give from all three. So what are the three shitas? Rabbi Yosef and Reb Shimon says, Barishoina Hayunais Nepeh Lelefes Vilakruv Vilakaflut. You have the Tanakama of the first Braisa that says Lefes and Kruv. You have the Tanakama of the second Braisa that says Lefes and Kaflut. Says the Gemara, name of Tlosa Tanoh Yavah. So it would seem at first glance that we have three Tanoh. By the way, not that there's anything wrong with that, but just in terms of understanding the two Braises. So it would seem that there's three opinions in terms of the history of Peya from Yeruk, as the Gemara says, law. You don't necessarily have to learn the Braisa that way. Rather, you could say Trey Tanoh. Really, there's only two Tanoh. The Tanakama de Rab Shimon, the Tanakama of the Braisa that mentions Reb Shimon, Hainu Reb Yosi, V'tanakama de Reb Yosi, and the Tanakama of the Braisa that mentions Reb Yosi, Hainu Reb Shimon, is really Reb Shimon. If that's the case, Umay Af, what does Af mean? Akamaisa, it's going back on the first thing. Meaning, let's just go back to the first Braisa. The first Braisa said, Barishoina hayonoisnin peya lelefes v'lekruv. Reb Yosi said, Afla Kafla. How do you understand Pasha what Reb Yosi is saying? Not only lefes and kruv, but even kaflut. Meaning, he's adding a third thing. Tanakama said two, lefes and kruv. Rabbi Yossi is adding the third, he's saying kaflut. What the Gemara is saying now is that it's not muchach, that's what Rabbi Yossi meant. Could be Rabbi Yossi's af was going back on the kamaisa. Whereas the Tanakama said lefes and kruv, Rabbi Yossi said lefes and kaflut. If that's the case, Rabbi Yossi is the Tanakama of the second brisa. The second brisa said clearly, Noisnim peyo lelefes v'lekaflut, which is Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi's afle kaflut doesn't mean all three. It's going back on the kamaisa, on the first thing that the first brisa said. Just same exact formula with the second brisa. Second brisa said barishoina hayonoisnim peyo lelefes v'lekaflut. Rabbi Shimon oimer afle kruv. Pasha, the way you read the brisa is not only lefes and kaflut, but even kruv, meaning all three. Says the Gemara now, that's really not what it means, but rather what it means is that Afla Kruv is only going back on the Kamais, it's going back on the first thing, it's Lefes and Kruv. If that's the case, it means Reb Shimon is the Tanakama of the first Braisa, the Tanakama of Reb Yosi, who said clearly Lefes for the Kruv. The point is, if you read that the Af doesn't mean all three, it's just going back on the Kamaisa, on the first thing that the Tana the Braisa said, so if you just plot it out, what you really have is two shitas, because Reb Yosi is the Tanakama of the first Braisa, Reb Shimon is the Tanakama. Rabbi Yosi is the Tanakama of the second Braisa. Rabbi Shimon is the Tanakama of the first Braisa. And really, all you then have is the two shitas. Was it Lefes and Kruv, or was it Lefes and Kaflut? Regardless, if the Af is going and back on everything, so then Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon are each saying all three. The two Tanakamas of the two Braisas are arguing not all three, two, but which two? Lefes and Kruv, Lefes and Kaflut. You have one shita, a second shita, and a third shita. If, however, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon never said all three, they also agreed to. So basically, what you have over here is just one big shiloh, which two wasn't. And there's two shitas. Everyone agrees it was lefes. The question is, was it lefes and kruv? Was it lefes and kaflut? Zok digimar, tanu rabbonet. So we see here that one of the minhagim of the Anshe Yericho was they used to give peyah from yerakos. And Chum had a problem with it. But up until this point, we don't see why. I mean, at the end of the day, what's so terrible? So you're giving matonos to the aniyim. You're giving tzedakah. Asa b'shvul shetas asha. Why isn't that such a terrible thing? So the Gemara is about to say that the reason it was a terrible thing is because peyah is potter from maestras. And to the extent that it was presumed that this was real peyah, that had a chalois peyah on it, that would mean that whoever now took this peyah, in his mind, doesn't have to give maisras. If really you have to give maisras and you think you don't have to give maisras and you eat it, that's misa b'dei shamayim. You just ate tevel. So that's a very big deal. Zokta Gemara, a story, an anecdote to bring out this point. Ben Boyhan, this was a person, Nasan Pei Le'Yerek. So in his mind, he was being very machmer. He gave pay even from Yerek. His father came to Unim Yerek. He saw that Daniel were coming out of his son's field and they were carrying Yerek. They were about to leave the garden. Amalemi told him, Banai, my sons, Hashlichu me'alechem, do me a favor, put down the payah, I'll pay you for it. Not only will I pay you for it, I'll give you double. Since you have $100 worth of schayra, of payah, I'll give you $200. And then he told him, don't think the reason I'm saying this is because I don't want you to take the pay. Because the chachamim said, you're not let it be mafish, pay liyarek. Why? For the reason that we just said, says the Gemara, why did Ben Boyan's father, by the way, what was his name? Boyan, right? So Ben Boyan's father, Boyan, why did he have to give this whole disclaimer? He says, I'm telling you, do me a favor, put it down. I'm going to give you double. And don't think the reason I don't want you to take it is mipnei she'eini tzar. Obviously, that's not the reason. He's offering him double the price, right? If I tell you, do me a favor, just don't take it. Trust me, it's not because I don't forgive you, but don't take it. Okay, you can be choshen. Maybe I'm saying it because really I don't want you to take it. But he made him an offer. They couldn't refuse. He said, listen, trust me, what's the difference? You're taking one vegetable, I'm going to give you two vegetables. It's a good deal. So why do you have to say it, says the Gemara? And for the Gemara, because this wasn't COD. He wasn't giving it to him right now. He told him, I'm going to pay you. So Caesar going to leave up and Kostnish Kangel. So they said, yeah, right, of course. I'm going to put it down. I'm never going to hear from you again. So he said, trust me, I'm telling you now, not any tzara, I forgive you, you can have everything, but you don't want to eat this, because if you eat this, it's misa b'dei shamayim, this is tevel, it's very, very chum. So the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara is now going to bring a very long brisa that's going to take us until the end of the perek, and there's going to be one knetch in this brisa that has a little bit of a shaychis to what we've been talking about. This, the feel, however, of everything from here until the end of the parak is going to be very much like a digression. So one of the matnes kahuna, not matnes aniyim, matnes kahuna, one of the things that the kahanim were entitled to was the skin of all the animals that were brought as karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. The ur had value, it wasn't brought on the Mizbeach, so the ur, the skin, was given to the kahanim. So the Braisa says that it used to be that every single day, they would take all the ur of all the karbanos, they would put it into one of the chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, known as Beis HaParva, and the Anshei Beis Av, those were the Kohanim that served in the Beis HaMikdash on that specific day, they would all come and they would divide it. But you know what happened? There were always a few tough guys, and they would come and they would somehow manage to walk off with all the ur. Skinos, Racham, Meir, Takon, and they said, instead of dividing it every single day, divide them Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. What's the difference? The asking because the way the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash was divided was there were mishmaris, right? There were different groups of kehanim, and each group, however it was divided, would get to serve in the Beis HaMikdash for a week, for the 6 days from Yom Rishon through Yom Shishi, and then on Shabbos, all the kehanim used to serve. But for 6 days, the mishmar used to serve. The mishmar itself was divided into six groups. So there were people of this individual mishmar that would serve on Sunday, others on Monday, others on Tuesday. So the feeling was that if you had more kehanim there, so then the weaker kehanim would be a little bit more protected. So if every day we're going to divide up the ur, so then the shvacha chevra are going to be a little bit more vulnerable for this kolda olam gavar. But like this, if you do it on a weekly basis, they thought they'd be a little bit more protected. So this was a little bit of a help, and this is what the Chachamim instituted. However, the Gemara said it didn't work. Not the Kayhanim Gedolim, but the Gedolim Kahuna. Again, the tough Chever, Noitl Nois and Mizrahi, they were doing the same thing. Undo, Bailam, Bekdish, and Shemayim. So you know what the Bailam did? They came up with an idea. The Kayhanim, who were entitled to these respective Iris, what they did was they were Makdish. Hektish nobody was going to start up with. Meaning the Oir really was supposed to belong to the Kayhanim, but they were Makdish of the Bedekabais. Amru, it said, there was so much income that came in to the Gizvar, to the Beis HaMikdash, to Bedekabais, because of all this R that was now belonging to the Beis HaMikdash that was sold, that they took this money, they bought gold with it, and they started plating the walls of the Heichal with gold. How much gold did they have? They literally had tavlois, shelzov, these tablets. Each one was an amah by an amah, so it's 2 by 2 feet. Ka'ove dinar was the thick of a dinar za. Luregel, on Yontavay Mekaplanoi, so they would take this gold off the walls of the Heichal. Umanichan oizal gamayla harbais, they would put it on the steps of the harbais. Kadechi oile regal and royan, shemalachta no. So they wanted the oile regal to see what's going on. All the yidin used to come up. They want to know what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. So you want to know what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash? This is what goes on. That even when it comes to the Ar, maybe you heard rumors in the mikveh that there's fighting going on and the tough guys end up walking off with it. The Ein Bahem Dalon, you should know there's no Daifi, Rashi says. There's no monkey business going on. This is what goes on. Every single coin is Makdish, is Chelik, to Hektish. Hektish makes so much money off of this. And look at the gold and the Ashiris that goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. It's all the result of this that's going on. So this really has very little to do with anything that we've been discussing. But Zakti Gemara Tana, Abishol continued on this theme, and he said, "Kairishol Shikma Hayav Yerichai." There were kairos, trees of sycamore in Yerichai. This is the extent of the connection to what we've been talking about. And then there were these tough people that would come and they would take it. So the Bailam didn't want to lose it, so they said, "You know, let's be makdish it." Again, people weren't necessarily going to be deterred from taking somebody else's thing. But if it belonged to Hektish, oh, that's a whole different shayla. It was regarding these people that used to go ahead and take other people's trees that Abishol ben Botnis said in the name of Abba Yosef ben Chanan. He said, "Oyli mi beis baisos. Woe is to me from the family of baisos. Oyli mea losan. And woe is to me from their sticks." So the people of baisos, this was a very powerful family, and old school, they used to beat people up when they wanted things. He used to say, "Oyli mi beis Chanan, woe is to me from the family of Chanan, and oyli mi lechishasan." These were people that also used to play tough, not with their hands, not physically, but verbally, as in Lashon Hara, and they would use their mouth, their tongue, as a weapon of mass destruction. "Oyli mi beis kasrus." They used to write and they used to spread propaganda. And woe was to me from the family of Yishmael ben Piyachi, and woe was to me from his entourage. What was unique about these four families? They were Kayanim Gedolim. They had positions of real power. Ubneim Gizbarim. Their sons, this was a family business, was the Gizbar. So he was in charge of all the finances in the Beis HaMikdash. The Edims were Amarkalin. Rashi says these were also very important jobs. And their chevro, their gaboy, they used to beat people up. And it was regarding them that they said, "Oyli," and this is the people that used to go and they would steal the kairos of Shikma and Yericha. So these were Kehanim Gedoylim and their families that everybody was worried about. Tanu Rabbanan, Arbet Tzvachis Sof Chazor. There were four tzvachis, four yells that the Azara screamed out. Rishoyna, the first one was Tumikan Bnei Eli. The Bnei Eli should leave the Azara. Why? Shetimu Heichal Hashem. Because they defiled the Heichal. Right? The Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel that when women would come to bring karbanos, so the Bnei Eli would be mezana with these women. Now the truth is, the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos, Kala Oimer Bnei Eli Chata, Masha asks that kasha right here in Chedushi Agadis. But that's the first tzvacha. First tzvacha was Sumi Kan Bnei Eli. That Yisoschar Ish Kvar Bar Koi, he was a Kohen Gadol. He should leave the Azara as well. He got a special tzvacha from the Azara. Why? What was so terrible about him? See, he was Mechabit himself. And he was Mechal Kotchish Man. Now, Bikorach Yod B'Shiroi, he would take silk and he would wrap it around his hand. Vavad Avoida. And he would do the Avoida. Meaning, he didn't want to make direct contact with the animals and with the knife. And he felt that it was bloody and it just wasn't something he wanted to get too close to. And it was terrible. He was considered someone that's Mechabed Es Atzmai. Mechal Kotchish Man. Now, Judith, what's so terrible about doing that? So Rashi says two things. Number one, it's a chatzitza. Very simple. Chatzitza, you have to make direct contact with the klishtores and anything that you're holding. But Va'oid Rashi says, in addition to chatzitza, which is more of a technical thing, this was a terrible bizoyan. Because you're showing that you find the karbonos to be disgusting, and that was a mevaza kotche shamayim. He's included in the Inlam Chelik Lo'ilam Ha, but that's very, very chomer, and that's why there was a tzvacha, tzei mikan yisoscha ishkvar bar koiv, oi tzvacha azoro, and there was another gishrai, su'u shorim roshechem. Not the say, but the Yikones. Yishmael ben Piachi, and let Yishmael ben Piachi enter. Who was Yishmael ben Piachi? He was a Kohen Gadol. Talmidei shel Pinchas. He was a Talmid of Pinchas. There was another Geshrei that said, Sushan Rasheichem, V'yikonis Yoichanan ben Narboi, who was Talmidei shel Pinchoi, V'yimalei Kresoi mikotche shemayim. And he should fill himself up from the kotche shemayim. So the fourth Tzvacha was Yikones Yoichanan ben Narboi, who is Talmidei shel Pinchoi. Amar Alav Yoichanan ben Narboi, it said regarding Yoichanan ben Narboi, Shayoichel Gimel Meis Agolim. He would eat 300 Agolim, the Shoisin Gimel Meis Garbe Yain, drink 300 barrels of wine, Vaichel Arbam Sa Goizalois, and he would eat 40 Sa of Goizalois, of young birds, Bikinu Achsuda. This is only for dessert. Amru, they say, Kol Yomov Shel Yoichanan ben Narboi, Loi Nimtsin Noisib Mikdash. All the years of Yoichanan ben Narboi, there was no nicer. I mean, everything was cleaned up. He had nothing to worry about. Now, you read the Gemara, it sounds like he himself used to eat this, right? Rashi says no. So, two lines from the bottom. Shalish meyas agolim shoyu megadol bebeis ha-keihanim harbet. There were a lot of keihanim inside his house. So, it's not that he used to eat all this, but oichle shulchanoi hayim erubin. And it was because all the people that were in his house, that's my oldest fuan. Zokhtigor, my salkele b'yisoscha ish barkoi. So, as a postscript to this last Gemara that we just learned. So, there was a basical that said, we know about the Bnei Eli. The second one was Seimikan Yisascha Ishkvar Barkoi. He was a Mechabit as Atzmoy, Umechal Kotchin Shemayim. What did he do so terrible? He used to wrap his hand with the silk while he did the Avoida. And then there were the other two that were told to come in. The first one was Yishmael ben Piachi, and the second one was Yoichanan ben Narboi. So the Gemara says, as it relates to Yisascha Ishkvar Barkoi, who was singled out in this Gemara, I mean, literally goes down legacy wise together with the Bnei Eli. One of the four tzvaches of the Azara is related to this Yisoscha Ishkvar Barkoi. So what's the end of the story? Amri, the story is told. Malko, Malko Zav Yasvi. The king and the queen were sitting together. Malko Omar Gidi Yoi. And a fight broke out. They were having an argument, an intellectual debate. So what's the king and the queen discussing? They were trying to determine what's more chashev, a sheep or a goat? Meaning what tastes better? What's better food? So the king said, the gedi yoy, a goat is better. Malchus Amr, the queen said, Imra yoy, the sheep is better. Amr, they said, man muchach, kohen gadol, the kamasir korban is kol yoyim. Somebody bring the kohen gadol. He brings korbanas every day. He's the expert when it comes to animals. Let him come and he's going to tell us whether a goat is more chashim or whether a sheep is more chashim. So the Gemara says, Aseiyu, so he came and they asked him the question, is the king right? Or is the queen right? Now, of course, the queen's right. But that was the question that was asked. Right, which one of them is right? So the Gemara says, Achvi biyadeh. He made a motion with his hand, as if to say, Rashi says, Beloshen tzchayk. This is a ridiculous question. He said, of course, he got Yasi. He said, it must be the sheep is better. Because if the goat is better, Yasek l'tmida. So how come the carbon tamid, which is a segue to tomorrow's daf, but the carbon tamid, right, tamid nishcha, should have been brought from a goat. Why was it brought from a shepsela? Oh, must be because the sheep is better. Amar Malka, so the king wasn't happy because, number one, this Yisachar ish kvar barkoi sided with his rabbitson, but beside, what he didn't like was the way he treated it. Like he just made a litzanis, he made a chayzik out of the king. He said, "Hoyvelay havelay emes of the malchus, because you had no fear for the king. Nifsekuli yamine, we're going to chop off your right hand." Yov shoychad, he gave shoychad. He didn't want to lose his right hand because you have to do the avoda with your right hand. At the end of the day, he earned a living being a kohen gadol, so he gave shoychad upaski the smal. He said he cut off his left hand. Shama malka, the king heard that what happened. Upaskel yamine, he took off his right hand too. So he ended up nishmet the linke hand and nishmet the rechte hand. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef heard this. He said, Baruch Rachmana, the askeleli yisoscha ishkvar barkoi. Baruch Rachmana, what happened to yisoscha ishkvar barkoi? Why? So you have to read the end of the Gemara. The mitvase mine b'hay alma, because he got his punishment on this world. So like this, when he comes to the next world, he'll be able to be rewarded for the good things that he did. Because apparently yisoscha ishkvar barkoi did a lot of good, but at the same time he also did not so good. And he got punished in this world, which meant that he would be speared in the next world. Rav Ashi, he said, Yisoscha ish kvar barkoi loitonim asisin. This Yisoscha ish kvar barkoi and Yishkelen ka mishnayis. Why? Because had he learned mishnayis, he would have known the answer to the question. Okay, what was the question? Is a goat better or is a sheep better? What's this Mishnah? The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, this is at the very, very end of Masechtas Krisus.
A sheep comes before a goat. Bechal makay. You always a sheep always comes before. Yacham mipnei shemuvchan. You would think because it's more chashuv. Tamal loymer. Flint from a pasuk not that way. Keves yavi karbanoi. And Rashi says there's another pasuk that brings the sire first. Malamich shneim shkulim keachet. We know they're both to say. But the point is, you see that Yisascha ish kfar barkay didn't learn mishnayis, or at the very least he didn't learn mishnayis krisos. But the point is he didn't learn nasnisin, says the Gemara. And the point is that because had he learned mishnayis, he would have known the answer. He could have said it's a mefurish. Says I feel a mikra nami loikara. He didn't even do shnayim mikra v'echad targum. Because the pasuk says clearly in keves in maize regarding one of the karbanos, it says if you bring a keves, if you bring a maize, what is this? Only buy a keves slice, you buy a maize slice. It sounds like you have a choice. If you want to bring a keves, bring a keves. You want to bring a maize, bring a maize. It sounds like either way you go is going to be okay. So he should have known that from the psukim. If one's better, then there should be an inyan to bring the one that's better. So from the fact that the Torah talks about both of them as if whatever you want to bring keves, I'll sign a keves. Oh, you prefer an maize? Let it be. So that's what he should have said. The answer should have been that Elu ve'elu hivre l'kim chayim. He couldn't have given a politically correct answer. Could have saved both his hands. That's technically the way he could have gone about it. However, he didn't know Mishnayis. Ravina said he didn't even know Chumash. But the point is, he was punished. Why? What was the Midah Keneged Midah? Because he used to protect his hands. Because he was Mechabedes Atzmoy. And at the same time, he was Mevaza and Mechalo Kodshe Shamayim. Says the Gemara, you want to know what happened with Yisascha Ishkvar Barkoi? This is the rest of the story. And on that note, Hadron Alach Mokim Shenagu Uslikala Pesach Rishon, which is interesting. And really, the rest of that story we'll see in tomorrow's daf. But as the words Slikala Pesach Rishon imply, we didn't just finish a parak. We just finished Psachim part one. Literally, we finished the first half of the Masechta. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, tomorrow we're going to start the second half of the Masechta, Perakam and Nishchat, which begins with 40 dafin of Gachim. Real, real, real gishmak of dafin. It's lighter than Zvachim and Menachis and some of the more intense Gachim sugis. So if you enjoy Gachim, albeit Gachim light, these are very, very gishmak of dafin that are coming, but just two ha'aris as it relates to, number one, the daf, and number two, Perek Machem Shenago. Shorter, Dvar Agada, and then afterwards something a little bit longer. So the Gemara said that there were four tzvachos that the Azara was tzavcha. Two were for people that were told, get out of the Azara, and the other two were to the contrary. Susharim Rashechem, the Yikanes. Who are the two that are Yikanes? Yishmo ben Piachi and Yoichanan ben Narboi. And then the Gemara said, "Amru olav al yoichna ben arboy shoy oichel gimel meis agolim v'shoy se gimel meis garbayayin v'oichel arboim so goizolos only for kinu achsud." Amru kol yom of shoyich ben arboy loy nimtza noisa b'mikdash. Ramei Simcha in a classic meshachachma in Parshas Kiseitzi says a dover nifla. He says that Chazal say that there was no ben soiru moira in Yerushalayim. It's halacha. We're familiar with the parasha ben Sayyar Meir. This is a child that at a very young age is doing things that are very questionable. He's showing signs of being gluttonous. He steals, he fresses, he drinks. And this is a person that if he could check off all the boxes of the ben Sayyar Meir, Chazal were able to say edus on him that this child one day is going to grow up and he's going to be very, very bad. So bad that one day he's going to be Chayim Mises Bezdin. And the Torah was Yorda L'Soif Taitei Shaladim and said, Yomu Zakai, Mal Yomu Chayim. Eventually he's going to be on death row. Eventually he's going to receive capital punishment. So let's just cut out the middleman. Why do we have to go through all the angst and all the tsaras and make him do all these averas? At the end of the day, let's save his neshama. So Yom HaZakav HaYom HaZchayev, this is the parasha of the Ben Soiru Meir. But the Tosefta says in Masechtas Negam, Amar Rab Nosson, Ein Ben Soiru Meir Nasa B'Yerushalayim. And at first glance, it's a Medrash Pliya. Why can't you have a Ben Soiru Meir in Yerushalayim? So Rav Meir Simcha said a Dover Nifla. He said, V'nir li ata, Api manda Amru P'sachim Daf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph, V'oid Tzavcha Azor Su Sharm Rashaychem, V'yikonis Yoichan Ben Narboi, V'yimalei Kresa Mikotshe Shamayim. And it brings the whole Gemara, the whole menu, all the food that Yoichan Ben Narboi and Oichal Shulchana used to eat. So listen to what he says. He says, it comes out that in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to eat a lot of food, the Koyanim. Right? You had all this basar, and you had all this wine of Maisa Sheni that was brought, and you couldn't even have any noisar. So the level of eating that took place in Yerushalayim was on a different Ramah. So he says, what do you want from this kid? You have a kid that's growing up in Yerushalayim, He comes home and he sees the oven fresh, the Eid Anach. Literally, you can't even have a little bit of nicer, because I is nicer. You're over an Isser in the Torah. You have a mitzvah, a sreifa. The Gemara said Mefurish, what used to go on? And this was a good thing. Su sharim rasheich and the yukane zeichan ben arbay. We're actually applauding this. We're singing su sharim rasheich for this. This is mamish what's going on. Said Rameis Simcha, mayasa ben velo yechta. What do you want from this child? So the child became a fresa. He's a zoivo vesoive. He eats too much. He drinks too much, of course. He lives in Yerushalayim. If you're growing up in Yerushalayim, it's inevitable that you can end up eating too much and drinking too much. So he says, if that's the case, that you can't have any tainas on this kid, and they ain't lochein ain't chet in bahanar al midas hazoilus. There's no chet if this kid came to the midas hazoilus, and it's for that reason this child doesn't become a mensayer umayer. A dover nifla. I once thought maybe to say a little bit of a different shot in this Tosefta. Again, the Tosefta that says that in Yerushalayim you couldn't have a mensayer umayer. That's based on a Yerushalmi that is in Perik Ben Soiru Meira, in Masech de Sanhedrin. The Yerushalmi talks about the Ben Soiru Meira. Says the Yerushalmi, quote, Tzafa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shesoif ze osed ligamer nichse yoviv. Ves nichse imoy. Ve yoishav lei beprashas drachim, u mikapeach es abriyois, ve hoirik es anefashois, ve soifoy lishakeach es tamudai. Amr Teiro, mutav shiyamu zakai, The Yerushalmi brings almost verbatim the Gemara. The Gemara talks about what's going to end up happening with this child. But the Yerushalmi adds a few words. He's going to end up depleting his parents' nechasim. He's going to sit on a precious drachim. He's going to kill somebody. But the Yerushalmi adds one line. The soifai l'shakeach es talmudai. Amr Torah, the Torah said, Mutav sheyamu zakai, falayamu schayev. Rav Shmuel Yankiv Zatzal, in the Sefer Zoisli Yaakov, in Parshas Kitzetzi, has a whole arichos on this diuk of the Sefer L'shakeach es Talmudai. And he says, you see from the Yerushalmi, that as long as the Ben Soiru Meira has Torah inside his system, as long as he didn't forget his learning, he's not going to be a Ben Soiru Meira. Because Ha'ur Sheba Machzir L'mutav, and he quotes Rabbeinu Yonin, Shari Tshuva, Ayin Shom, beautiful Mar Mekoymas. But as long as a person has Torah inside of him, you don't have to worry, and you certainly can't say a haftacha guaranteed one day this person is going to be chayiv mises bezin, because if he has Torah inside of him, the light of Torah is going to protect him. So I was thinking, if that's the case, maybe gevaldik. We know the pasuk says ki mitzion teitzei soira udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Tosfos in Masechtas Bava Basra in Perek Lo Yachbar Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says, what's the pshat? Why is it ki mitzion teitzei soira udvar Hashem Yerushalayim? L'fisha yoraya kedusha gedoyla. Because in Yerushalayim there was kedusha gedoyla. V'koyanim oiski. So a person that lived in Yerushalayim, it inevitably had a hashpa on him. The Kedusha got to him to the point that he would learn Torah and Avodah, and he ended up reaching Madregas. And says Tosfos, this is Pshan and the Sefri. This is a Tosfos. It sounds more like a Rameir Simcha. Says Tosfos, it says in the Pasuk, regarding Maisa Sheni, the Mantilmod Liyira Oisei, that the idea of Maisa Sheni is it should bring a person to Deyira. And Chazal say, Godel Maisa Sheni, Shemevi Li Deyira, Godel Maisa Sheni, Shemevi Li Dey Talmud. He said, what's the Pshat? Tosfos talking. Tisha Yoimid Bi Yerushalayim. Because a person had to bring his Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim. So what happened? He comes to Yerushalayim. Actually, he Maisa Sheni Shalai. It took time until he finished his Maisa Sheni. Vayiroya shekulam oiskem alech shemayim ba'avoida. Hayagam hu mechavel yir shemayim va'oisik b'toira. Inevitably, you spent too much time in Yerushalayim once upon a time. It was going to rub off on you. You were going to end up learning Torah. And that's why God al Maisa Sheni shemevi lidei Talmud. And that's the pshalam antumad v'yira. Because inevitably, you're going to end up learning Torah. That's, says Tosfos, what the pasuk means, ki mitzion teitzei soira udvar Hashem b'Yerushalayim. So lefi anal could be gevaldik. If the ben soira meira only becomes the ben soira meira, like the Yerushalmi says, when he soifa l'shakeach es talmudai, if he lives in Yerushalayim, you don't have to worry about it. Because in Yerushalayim, ki mitzion teitzei soira udvar Hashem b'Yerushalayim. He's not forgetting his learning so fast. Even if he forgot what he learned in Cheder, but the influence of just being surrounded by the Kayanim and the Leviim, that influence of Kedusha is going to make sure he's going to have Torah in his system. And if a Yid has Torah, that's the punchline. The only time we can say Yomu Zakei v'Yomu Schayev is if he's Mishakeach Es Talmudai. But as long as he's still infused with Torah, if then you can't say anymore Yomu Zakei v'Yomu Schayev, because the Torah is going to protect him. In Yerushalayim, you are always protected with Torah. So if you're always protected with Torah in Yerushalayim, that's pshat, maybe. In the Tosefta Mesechtes Negam, Amar Rav Nosson, Ein Ben Soiru Umayr Nasir be Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim there's Torah. Ki mitzi and teitzei Torah with Varashem Yerushalayim. Gadol Maisa Sheni Shemevri Lidei Talmud, and therefore in Yerushalayim you don't have to worry about. So we have two pshatim in the Tosefta Mesechnis Negam. Why can't you have a Ben Tzair Ramei Yerushalayim? Ramei Simcha said, oh, because of all the Zoyl of the Saiva that took place, the Gemara Pesachim, Yoichanan Ben Narbai, all the eating and all the drinking, there was never nicer. Oide Yerushalayim, just the opposite. It's not because of all the Zoyl of the Saiva, all the eating and the drinking. It's because of all the Torah. It's because of all the Kedusha. And as long as there's Kedusha, you don't have the Saifa L'Shakeach Es Talmudai. If you don't have the Saifa L'Shakeach Es Talmudai, you don't have to worry about him becoming a Ben Tzair Ramei. That's the first. The second R is, so we just made a hadron on Perik Mokim Shenagu, which of course deals with Minog Yisrael. And we saw in the Perik, and really in the first Mishnah, two very important halachas as it relates to Minog Yisrael. The first is Minog Yisrael Torah. Shema b'ni musar avicha, v'altitash Torah simecha. The Gemara says from that pasuk we learn that if someone lives in a city that took upon themselves a certain minig, you can't say, where does it say it? It's not a deraisa, it's not a derabanan, show it to me in the Shulchan Aruch. There's something about a minig. And minig Yisrael has that value. Minig Yisrael Torah. And Shema b'ni musar avicha v'altitesh Torah simecha is mechayev a person to shtaltzu to a minig. Another halacha that we saw, which was one of the themes of the parak, before we digressed into Agadata, and that is Ahoylech. If somebody's traveling from one place to another place, so I live in a place where they have a certain minig, and I go to a place where they have a different minig. So whose minig do I take on? Do I take on the minig of the place that I live in, or do I take on the minig of the place that I just went to? So what did the Mishnah say? The chumre makim shahalach l'sham. You're always supposed to go to chumre. So if the chumre is for me to take on the minig of the place that I live in, you take on that minig. And if the chumre is to take on the minig of the place that I went to, so then what you're supposed to do is take on that minig. And then the Mishnah said, v'al yishanu adam b'pnei ha-machloikis, which was a little bit of a hard line, abaya ravu nun alafam abeis, dafnu abeis, the sugi of shvius. But one thing was clear, that there's a machloikis component to this idea of, if I'm not in my hometown, I'm on the road. There's an idea of minig amokim, I should shtel to whatever the minig in that place is. It's related somehow to the concept of a person not coming l'idei machlokes. I just thought that it's worth talking a little bit, the abridged version of a commonly discussed halachic shayla, and that is, if somebody lives in Chutz Laretz, where the minig is to keep 2 days yontif, and he goes to Eretz Yisrael, where the minig is not to keep 2 days yontif. Is he supposed to keep 2 days yontif, like the minig of the place that he's coming from? Or is he supposed to keep 1 day yontif, like the minig of the place that he went to? And just to be clear, we're talking about someone that's visiting. So you're going to Eretz Yisrael for yontif. You're not moving. You're not a younger man that's going to be there for a year, 2 years, 5 years. You're traveling. You went for yontif. You're going for a week, for 2 weeks, 3 weeks maximum. You're a traveler. You're 100% planning on coming home, but you're going to spend yontif in Eretz Yisrael. So the minig of the place that I'm coming from is to keep 2 days yontif. The minig of the place that I'm going to is to keep 1 day yontif. In terms of the sugyas and makom shenagu, are you supposed to keep 1 day yontif, or are you supposed to keep 2 days yontif? Now, the background to the shayla, of course, is a Gemara Masechtes Be'er, Naftalan Amid Be'er, a Gemara that we spoke about earlier in the parak. And that is, once upon a time, Bezdin was Mekadesh the Chodesh al Pi Re'iyah. Meaning, the Yidden didn't work with calendars, which, by the way, is a little bit misunderstood. There were calendars to a degree that were used b'di'evet. Meaning, what happened if Adam never showed up? So there was always a backup option that was used. But the Lekadchila way that the month was established was al pi re'iyah. So two Edom would come to Bezdin, and they would say that we saw the new moon, and Bezdin, assuming that they checked out to say this, would accept their edus, and they would say, Mazel Tov, it's Rosh Chodesh, and you knew to start counting towards Yontif. That's the way it was once upon a time. The problem is, there were Yidden that lived in Kehillahs that were far away from Yerushalayim, and they had no idea when Yontif was. So there was a system that was set up where Bezdin tried the best they can to try to spread the word. But in a world of primitive communication means, so there were always inevitably going to be places that when Yontif rolled around, whether it was Sukkot, whether it was Pesach, they Pasha didn't know. They had no idea was Rosh Chodesh today, was Rosh Chodesh yesterday. Now they were always able to narrow it down to 2 days. But within 2 days, there was always a suffix, whether today's Yontif or tomorrow's Yontif, or maybe yesterday was Yontif, and as a result, the concept of Yontif Sheli Shel Golias was born. It came into existence simply because there were places where there was confusion. Now, the Meshech HaDoros the Beis Din HaGadol will stop functioning. They stop having the ability to accept Eidos, to control what happened in all these different kehilos, and they stop being Mekadosh to Chodesh Al Piria. Hillel put together a calendar that we use, Adayim Hazeh, and today we determine when Rosh Chodesh is not based on Eidei Re'iyah, but simply based on whatever the calendar says. If that's the case, there's no difference between Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. It doesn't matter what your proximity is to Yerushalayim. You know what time Yontif is, simply based on whatever the calendar says, whatever the Luach says. That's how you determine Yontif. So really, there should be no difference, lahalacha, when it comes to Yontif, whether you live in Yerushalayim or whether you live far away from Yerushalayim. And if that's the case, there's no reason there should be Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. It should be Hadar Dina that Yontif should be what it says in the Torah. In the Torah, no such thing as 2 days Yontif. It says in the Torah that Shavuos is 1 day. It says in the Torah, Pesach is 7 days. You have a day of Pesach, then you have 5 days of Chol HaMoed, and then you have Shvi'i Shel Pesach. The same is true for Sukkot, right? So the whole concept of Yontif Sheni Shel Galus is really, nowadays, doesn't make a lot of sense. Stating that, the Gemara says in Be'ah, Daftal Ramid Beis, Mahashta Di Yodinam B'Kvi'a Di Yarcha. Nowadays that we know Kvi'a Di Yarcha, one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas, my time of the Intrei Yoimi. So why do we have 2 days Yontif? We know Kvi'a Di Yarcha, we know exactly what's going on. Why do we have a second day Yontif? So the Gemara says, Mishum D'Sholchu Mitam, because they sent the following message from Eretz Yisrael. He Zaru B'Minig Aviseichem B'Yodeichem. The Yidin Eretz Yisrael said, Chevron in Chutz La'aretz, keep on to your Minig. Why? Because Zimnin the Gazra Malchus, Gzeir of Asulukukula. Because you never know, may come back, things may revert. We may be in a place again where we don't know what's going on. We may need a Yontif Sheni, and a Kilkul can come from it. But the point is that the reason we keep a second day Yontif is the Sholchu Mitam, Hizaru Biminagav Isnechem Biyadechem. The concept of a Yontif Sheni is simply, in one word, Minig. Maybe the most famous, most prominent Minig that we have in Klal Yisrael. The concept of Yontif Sheni at the end of the day is a minig. And because it's a minig, that's why it lends itself to this shayla. Because if someone lives in Chutz La'aretz, where he keeps Yontif Sheni, but why does he keep Yontif Sheni in Chutz La'aretz? Because it's a minig. Now he went to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have that minig. So it's no different as if I went from a place where the minig is Shaloi Lasnis Malach on Erev Pesach to a place where the minig is yet to do Malach on Erev Pesach. At the end of the day, we're discussing a minig. So what do? Do I take on the minig of Eretz Yisrael where it's only 1 day Yontif, or do I take on the minig of Chutz La'aretz where it's really 2 days Yontif? There were two very, very famous tshuvas that were written by Kadmonim on this topic. The first came from the Ashkenazi world. It was the second chronologically, but it's the first that we're going to mention. And it was written by the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was asked this shayla. Sho'alto, b'nei chutz la'aretz ha'oivam l'eretz Yisrael derech haroi. Heich yisnagu b'sholish regolim. Im kibnei eretz Yisrael, im b'nei chutz la'aretz. The Tshuva is printed in Shailas Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. Shayla Kruf Samach Zayin. It's very short. It's one paragraph. And the Chacham Tzvi said, to me, it's very, very simple. Said why? In the Mishnah, we have a concept that if somebody travels mimakam lamakam, so you're supposed to take on the chumras of the place that you left and the chumras of the place that you're going to. But he says over here, this halach is not really relevant. And the reason this halach is not really relevant is because at the end of the day, it's not a question of chumrah. Not to do malacha Erev Pesach up until Chatzos is a chumra. To do malacha Erev Pesach up until Chatzos is a kula. There's an inherent chumra kula. So one minig is the chumra, the other minig is the kula. So there's an idea. Nice and all of you always take the chumra of the place that you left, and the chumra of the place that you're going to. He said, but to keep a second day yontif, is that a chumra? So you'll say, oh yeah, it's a chumrah. I'm not going to do work. Of course, no lametes malachas. Yeah, but it's also a kula because if it's not yontif, you can't just daven a yontif davening. You can't just make kiddush. You can't start varfing brachas all over the place. So there's certain things that you're going to end up doing that actually, if, assuming it's not yontif, is terrible. So said the Chacham Tzvi, there's no inherent kula chumra over here. So he said, if there's no inherent kula chumra, said the Mishnah of nice and all of the chumras of the place that you're coming from and the chumras of the place that you're going to is not really relevant. So what should you do, said the Chacham Tzvi? You should take on the minig hamakim, al yishana adam b'nei machlekes. So if there's a concept of minig hamakim, you're Eretz Yisrael right now. The minig hamakim is 1 day, said the Chacham Tzvi, you should keep 1 day Yontif. And then he said, I'll tell you, it's even more than that. And then he said, a major lumdus, not something that we're going to delve too much into right now, but just to mention this far. He said, it's pasha to me that the only time there's an idea of taking on a chumrah of the place that I'm coming from is if that chumrah would be able to survive in the place that I'm in. What do I mean? You're coming from a place where the minig is not to do malach on Erev Pesach. You just came to a kehila, and in this kehila, the minig is you have to do malach erev Pesach. What would be if the chevron in this kehila would all take upon themselves a chumrah? We're not going to do malach erev Pesach until chatzos. Gebaldig, ashrecha boi l'mazeh, v'toiv lach loiv ma'ba. It's myridik. No one's going to have a problem with it. He said, what would be if the whole chutz la'aretz moved into Eretz Yisrael, and they all decided that in Eretz Yisrael they want to keep a second day yontif? Chas v'sholom, said the Chacham Tzvi. They would be over a lois naseh in the Torah. What's the lois naseh? Bal toisef. You're not allowed to keep a second day yontif. This is what the Chacham Tzvi said. So he said, the only time there's an inyan of keeping a chumrah of the place that I'm coming from, even in a place where they don't have that, that's only if there's no invoice that comes attached to it. But to the extent that keeping that chumrah would be about toisef, then he says, even though for me it's not about toisef because I'm only keeping it out, it's the chumrah of the place that I'm coming from. But if all those people would move here, they would not be able to take on that chumrah. So I can't keep on that chumrah either. Either way, that's just the hard svar. But says the Chacham Tzvi, bottom line, you want to know? You had a shayla, very straightforward question. I'm going to give a straightforward answer. You keep one day yontif. Why? Because at the end of the day, this is not a question of chumrah. And besides, could be keeping a second day yontif in Eretz Yisrael. You're getting involved in a bal toisef. So could be it's even aser. The Seder Chacham Tzvi, it's poshit that the halacha is you're supposed to keep one day yontif. But there's another tshuva. And this tshuva came not from the Ashkenazi world, like the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva. It came from the Sfaradish world. And it was a tshuva that was written by the Beis Yosef in his Shailas Tshuvas Afkas Reuchel. So there's a sefer called Shailas Tshuvas Afkas Reuchel. It's Tshuvas from Rabbi Yosef Kairo, from the Beis Yosef. And he was asked the same exact question. Same exact Shaila. If someone's going from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be there for Yontif. He intends on going back home after Yontif. What should he do? Should he keep one day Yontif? Or should he keep 2 days Yontif? And the Beis Yosef attacked it from a very, very different angle. He said he doesn't hear the Shaila. It's Mefurish HaGemara. The Gemara says in the beginning of Perek Makam Shenagu, Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. The Gemara told the story. The Gemara said that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana once came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And when he was in Bavel, he ate the Da'ayitra. These were certain fats of an animal that were questionable. You're allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to eat it. Now, Mikra, then you're allowed to eat it. However, in Bavel, they took upon a Chumra and they didn't eat it. But in Eretz Yisrael, the meaning was to eat it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and he brings food with him. And at Gass in the Da'ayitra, and there was a big tumult. They said, what's going on over here? The Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Leslie Hodetran, doesn't he know the Mishnah? Noisan all of Chumri Amokim Shiyatzim Misham, the Chumri Amokim Shahalach Lisham. Doesn't he know this basic halacha? So the Gemara said, no, honey, Mili, you know when this halacha true, that's if he doesn't plan on going back home. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was planning on going home. So if he was planning on going home, it's poshnit. He was supposed to keep the minig of the place that he was coming from. In other words, said the Beis Yosef, it's Mefurish Gemara, that the only time you take on the chumrah of the place that you're in right now, that's if you're not Daitei Lachsa. So now there's two legitimate minhagim that you need to straddle. There's the minhag of the place that I'm coming from, there's the minhag of the place that I'm going to. But over here, you were Daitei Lachsa. Daitei Lachsa, and the Beis Yosef explains it with alumnus, it's as if I never left. I'm still there. So if Daitei Lachsa, I'm still back home. Oh, back home? But in Eretz Yisrael, we eat this Da'ayitra. Okay, Gvaldik, then you can eat it. The Mishnah that says that you have to work out the chumrah of the two places. Is this more chumrah? Is that more chumrah? That's only if I'm in Daitei Lachsa. But the extent that I'm Daitei Lachsa, there's no shiloh that this is what I'm supposed to do. So said the Beis Yosef, tshuva, literally, tshuva, opening line. Dover poshet hu. The choshet Daitei Lachsa, no yekemogim sheyatsa misham. Afilu lahakil. Even lahakil, this is what you're supposed to do. Okay, then he says that maybe before Hesia, you're supposed to be a little sensitive. But that's a side point. But you want to know what you're supposed to do? He says, poshet. In terms of this, this is without a question, it's a shayla of Daitei Lachsa. And then he says, I'm skipping. V'chein maisim b'chol yoyim, b'chol shana v'shana. Oylem l'shalich regalam chutz l'aretz l'aretz Yisrael. V'oysim yoyim sheni shal galiyas ketikuna v'ukim mishpata v'chutz l'aretz. He says, every single year, every single yontif, the yidin that come from chutz l'aretz l'aretz Yisrael, and they keep 2 days yontif. V'lo yoyid, ela shem miskabtsin minyan b'bnei chutz l'aretz oylem l'regal. Not just that, but they put together a minyan from the b'nei chutz l'aretz, u'mispalin tfilah v'karim b'toyra, u'maftirin b'navi, b'brachitz chid v'soif, k'moy sh'oysim b'yontif sheni b'chutz l'aretz. V'dover zeh nasim yimei kedem. This is an old minig. The Beis Yosef's talking. It was done in the presence of Gedolei Olam. Like pit bake Adam bedavar zemei Olam, and no one ever had an issue with it. So he said to Beis Yosef, it's pashut, that's still halacha. And he says, besides, it's a nicer rav. This has been going on for generations in Eretz Yisrael. All the bnei chutz laaretz kept 2 days in Adam. They always did it in the presence of Gedolei Olam, like pit bake Adam bedavar zemei Olam, and no one ever had an issue with it. So if no one ever had an issue with it, so it's pashut. It's not even a shaila that this is what you're supposed to do. So the bottom line is, there were two tshuvas that were written by Kadmonim on this. One was written by the Chacham Tzvi, the other one was written by Maron Abis Yosef. Chacham Tzvi said it's poshit that if a Yid from Chutz Laretz goes to Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day Yantiv. Beis Yosef wrote a tshuva, he said it's poshit that if a Yid goes from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to keep 2 days Yantiv. So there's a tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi, and there's a tshuva from the Beis Yosef. So what are you supposed to do? So now you're machriya. So Avadi Yosef, in his forum, talked a lot about this topic. One of the places is in Yabia Omer, and this is in Chelek Vav, in Simen Men, talks about it in a few places, in his Yichaved As as well. He says, I don't think it's a Shaila. He says, you have the Chacham Tzvi, who was one of the Gedolei Hayra of hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but at the same time, you have Maron the Beis Yosef. And if the Beis Yosef said that at the end of the day, you're supposed to keep 2 days Yontif, so he says he doesn't think it's a Shaila. There's no question, you have to keep 2 days Yontif. And then Rabbi Vadia, with his incredible Bekius, said he found in some obscure tshuvas that were written by Gaonim, several tshuvas, that the Gaonim were already asked these questions, and all the Gaonim paskin that you're supposed to keep a second day Yontif, and that this was the minig. So you see that this was always the minig. He also brings from the Pasa Shulchan, which was written by Remendel Mishklov, from the Talmidei Agra, that when he came and he said, right, Remendel Mishklov was one of the people that settled hashtag the Chorvashul, they settled the Iratika in the early 1800s. So he said that when he came there, he saw that that was the minig as well, that all the Bnei Chutzlaris that came to Eretz Yisrael, they used to keep Yontif Sheni Shalgolis in Eretz Yisrael. And they said, this is the minig, that this is always the way it was. Truth is, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, on these halachas, Yontif Sheni Shalgalis, it's in Hilchas Yontif, it's in Simen Tov Tzadik Vav. He says, Uben Chutz Laretz, Shabal Eretz Yisrael, if his intention is to go back home, you have to keep 2 days Yontif. It's Mefurish. Azoy Shteit the Mishnah Brura. So the bottom line is, the short answer, someone that goes from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, should he keep 1 day Yontif or should he keep 2 days Yontif? This is the Aleph base. This is the abridged version without really delving into the Rishonim. But this is the way Rav Chacham Avadi and all his tshuvas began the tshuva. It's there were two tshuvas from Gedolei Olam. The first is the Har Tzvi. The second is from the Beis Yosef. The Chacham Tzvi. And the second one is from the Beis Yosef. The Chacham Tzvi said that you're supposed to keep 1 day Yontif. The Beis Yosef in the Shalos Teshuvos Afkus Roichel said you're supposed to keep 2 days Yontif. He backed it up by saying that this is the Maaser Rav. This is always the way it was. The Dovers and Nasa Mimei Kenden Befnei Gedolei Olam Veloi Pik Bek Adam Bedovers and Meyolam. And no one ever questioned it. So he said, if that's the case, so the Maaser this way. So said Chacham Avadia, if the Beis Yosef said it, as Dr. Beis Yosef, he's the Mechaber. So how could you argue with the Mechaber? And even though it's a Chacham Tzvi and a Chanami, but at the same time, it's going up against the Beis Yosef, which is a very big problem, and it's Mefurish in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says that without a question, this is what you're supposed to do. It's interesting, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, on this halacha, in Simen Tov Tzadik Vav, Shulchan Aruch HaRav says as follows. So it's Sifkot and Yud Aleph. B'nei Chutz Laretz, Shabo Laretz Yisrael, and then he says, so I don't know the klolim and how you understand the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but the Shulchan Aruch HaRav seems to build up the first tzad, the Chacham Tzvi, and then he says, the V'yeish Cholkin is the Afkas Roichel. But at the same time, Shulchan Aruch HaRav very much brings this first tzad. And the truth is that there's a fascinating hoysafa to this rate. Thank you, Dovi Weiser. And that is that Rabbi Chil Mechel Tokachinsky wrote a sefer called Irak Kodesh VaMikdash. And in the sefer Irak Kodesh VaMikdash, he talks about this shailah, a ben chutzlar to go to Eretz Yisrael, should he keep 1 day yantif or should he keep 2 days yantif? And he brings that he was mekabel from his zeda, Rabbi Shmuel Misalant. So Rabbi Chil Mechel Tokachinsky was an enoch of Rabbi Shmuel Misalant through marriage. He calls him Chomi Vizikni Mori Virabi. So he was Meshamishim, he was a Talmud of his, but he also married into the family. He was also an Enochal. Rabbi Shmuel Misalant was the famous Rabbi Shal Yerushalayim for decades. And he said, Rabbi Shmuel Misalant, when he was asked this question, a Yid that comes from Chutz Laretz Eretz Yisrael, should he keep 1 day or should he keep 2 days? So he used to tell people as follows, Daiti Noita L'shitas Rabbeinu HaChacham Tzvi. He says, you want to know what I think? He said, I think like the Chamtzvi. And Rabbi Tikhachinsky said he heard his Eidah say this. I hold the Chamtzvi was right. That in Eretz Yisrael, you're only supposed to keep, you should only keep one day Yontif. This is what he says. But he said, L'maisa, Beis Yosef had a good taina. Beis Yosef's taina was his daite lachsa. So if he's daite lachsa, so l'chayri is gerecht. And the emphasis is when you learn the Chacham Tzvi, it sounds like Sisrei Torah. What, the Chacham Tzvi forgot the Gemara? The Gemara says if you're daite lachsa, it's if you never left. So if you never left, you're daite lachsa. So of course you should keep 2 days yontif. So he said a dover nifla. He said, the Zeder of Shmuel Misalan said that when a Yid is in Eretz Yisrael, he's never daite lachsa. What, I'm a guest? Every Yid is at home in Eretz Yisrael. It's never Daita Lachzer. The Mais in the Gemara and Daf Nun Aleph and Masechtes Pesachim, where Rabbi Bar Bachana went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, oh, he was Daita Lachzer. Avnadi's going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. But what are you going to tell me? A Yid comes from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, you're just visiting. You don't belong here. You belong here in Nechvesnish, in New York. You can only keep 2 days Yontif. You have no business keeping 1 day Yontif. Excuse me? You're a Yid? You're at home in Eretz Yisrael. That's all you do. And that's what Shmuel Misalant used to say. There's no daitei lachsa when to come to Eretz Yisrael. But he said, Lamaisa, he doesn't have the places to go against the Beis Yosef. And if this is what the Beis Yosef said, this is what he says. And then he brings in parentheses, V'liba yom aloi. His heart told him, at the end of the day, Maron didn't bring this anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. So he said, how come he didn't bring it in Shulchan Aruch? So he said, he thinks the reason is, because could be, this is what he writes, could be that you tochein shebe'eis chiber al Shulchan Aruch chazam mitshuvasai be'afkos reichel. This is what Rishon Salant said. Tikhachinsky said he heard this from the Zayda. Then he used to tell people, daiti noita l'shita sachacham tzvi. I, the Beis Yosef's tshuva, you're daitei lachsa to Chutz Laaretz. Daitei lachsa means you're not really here. You're just visiting. A Yid's never just visiting Eretz Yisrael. A Yid in Eretz Yisrael is at home. And then he added, that could be that's why he didn't bring it in the Afkas Reichel. Just one ha'ara. If you go through the tshuva in the Afkas Reichel, word by word, so at one point, the Beis Yosef says like this. He's talking, he brings his tshuva in the beginning, and he says, pshita, pshita, everything that I'm saying. And then he says, quote, zedover pashut, it's so pashut, lo nitein likasev, lo isa pshitusa. This is what he wrote in the tshuva. I think that's why maybe he didn't bring it in the Shulchan Aruch. He said, dover pashut, lo nitein likasev, lo isa pshitusa. He said, so pashut. So, I don't know, maybe that's possible. But the Reb Shmuel Misalant said that he thinks Beruach Kotshoi, that maybe the reason he didn't write it in the Shulchan Aruch is because he was Chayzer when it came time to write in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's why it wasn't mentioned there. But either way, this is the short version of the Shaila. The short version is that at first glance you'll tell me, you're Daitei Lachzer. Savadu, based on the Sugi, you're supposed to keep 2 days in there. And that's exactly what the Beis Yosef said. And Beis Yosef said, Azoy is Alamo Gavain the Minig. But at the same time, there is a tshuva from the Chacham Tzvi, where Chacham Tzvi said clearly it should be 1 day Yontif. And Rav Tikhachinsky said that Rav Shmuel Misalant, who was the Marad Asra Yushalayim for a half a century, he used to tell people that Daitei Noita L'Chacham Tzvi, but he used to also say that I don't have the places to go against the Beis Yosef, and not just that, against the Minig that the Pasa Shulchan already spoke about, and this was always the Minig in Yerushalayim, so he said, I can't tell you to go against the Minig. So what did he tell people in Maisa? So if Tukhachinsky brings, he used to tell people to try to be Machmer, to try to figure out a way, Fanegel, how you can keep. It should be Yontif and the Vachin, literally. So you should be the Vachin, and it's going to be Yontif. And he lays out 7 simple steps, don't try this at home, of how you can do this, how you can, so you should make Kiddush, you should make Havdalah, right, after your Havdalah, after that first night Yontif, but someone should be Maitzi, the guy you put on Tvelin, but you don't make Brach, eat the Matzah in the Marah by the second Seder, on the Brach, he worked it out for you, Ayin Shom, he works everything out. But the point is, in these simple steps, you can figure out how to be a Ben Chutz Laaretz that's actually an Eretz Yisrael. The one other piece that's just worth mentioning, we'll end with this, is that anytime you talk about Yontif Sheni, it's worth appreciating that once upon a time, Yontif Sheni was a hot button topic. It wasn't just another halach in Shulchan Aruch. It was a very, very big deal, and it really had a life of its own. And this is an example of where some of these pulmasin, right, some of these controversial shilas that really take on a life of their own. If you were there and you appreciated the context of the time of when these tshuvas were written and when it all came about, you would be a little more sensitive to the nuances. Yontif Sheni was one of the ideas that the Maskilim tried very hard to abolish. And the emphasis, they timed it, The whole thing is minig aviseinu biyodeinu. It really doesn't make sense because we have a calendar. We know when everything is supposed to be. So why are we keeping this archaic minig? Instead of having 2 days yontif, they have one. They were maskim to have 1 day yontif. They were always moed b'miktzas. But they tainted that why do we need to have a second day yontif? It doesn't make sense. And therefore, the people that were loichim against the maskilim, one of the places that they felt they had to come out very, very stark against was yontif sheni. That's the rest of the story. We mentioned this once. That's the rest of the story of the famous tshuva in the Chasam Sofer and Chaim Simon Kuf Mem Hei, with the tshuva that was written to Rabbi Shlomo Kluger in 1831, where the Chasam Sofer was very sick, 1831, and he almost passed away, and he wrote very little during that year. But he wrote a tshuva to Rabbi Shlomo Kluger because there was a whole shiloh with a person who was given a heter to write a get by one of the famous gedolim in the 19th century in Europe. We've gone down this road already. And he basically allowed this person to write a get on the second day of Shavuos, because otherwise his wife was going to end up being an aguna based on the premise that it was Yontif Sheni, and obviously based on, you know, real svaris and lamdas. And Chasam Sofer wrote one of the most famous tshuvas and shilas and tshuvas Chasam Sofer. And one of the things he wrote in the tshuva is that Yontif Sheni, we're going to be mezalzel Yontif Sheni. So he added an unbelievable knetch based on the sugis of Makom Shenago. He said Yontif Sheni, I think, could be as a din dayraisa. Why is it a din dayraisa? So, because you say in Ataras Nedarim, this is something that we didn't mention once in Perek Makom Shenago, possibly we don't have time, but you say in the Nusach of Ataras Nedarim, V'chol minig shenahagti ba'atzmi, right? Any minig of Dvar Mitzvah that you annoy, you have to be Matin Neder on. So the Chasam Sofer said that Yontif Sheni Shel Golias is a minig. Yeah, all it is a minig, right? He says, Kol minig shenahagti ba'atzmi takes on a life of its own. It could have a din of a day rice. It could be there's a layachal debari. And the Chasam Sofer basically went and he said that Yontif Sheni Shel Golias could be as a day rice. And then the Chasam Sofer said a disclaimer. He said, the reason I'm being so sharp about this, because I know what's going on right now, nowadays, and I feel that this is very important. You have to be meichel against all the craziness. People want to abolish Yontif Sheni. And he spoke very, very sharp against it, and it's because of that, this is what he wrote. So just to be Messiah, and that is that the Chasam Sofer, at the very end of that tshuva, it's one of the longest tshuvas, it's Kuf Memeh, every word is not shaykh, but at the end of that tshuva, he brings from the Ramah Mipano, the Magen Avraham quotes this Ramah Mipano, he says that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Yoymecha Midaita, right? The Torah was supposed to be given on Vav Sivan, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Yoymecha Midaita. Incidentally, I thought today, during davening, that we say on Shabbos, by Shachris, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. Right? He said, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. So I was thinking, maybe the Pshat is based on the Torah that we mentioned Erev Shabbos, today's daf. We mentioned Erev Shabbos, the Torah. The Torah says that on Yontif, all the Shemayna Esreis, the crux of the tefillah is the same. Ata b'chartonim yikol ha'amim. But on Shabbos, it changes. Friday night, it's Ata Chidashto. Shabbos morning, it's Yismach Moshe. And then by Mincha, it's Ata Echa v'Shimcha Echad. So the Torah says why? Because the three tefillahs are connected to three different Shabbosos. Friday night is connected the Shabbos of Bereshis. Shabbos morning is connected the Shabbos of Matan Torah. Hakol Moedim, the Shabbos Mitan Torah. And then Shabbos Mincha is connected to Yom Shekulei Shabbos, the Shabbos of Allah Salavai, at the Echav Hashem Ka'echad, Schari Yudalad, Vahayu B'yem Huyeh, Hashem Echad Shmayechad, the Brother Magid, etc., etc. But the Shabbos of Shachris morning is what? It's connected to Shabbos of Matan Torah. It's Mavur, that Shabbos is a special Shabbos. Right, we have Shabbos Bereshis. That Shabbos. You have the Yom Shekulei Shabbos. That's a different Metzius of Shabbos. And then there was that Shabbos. The B'Shabbos Nitna Torah is a Bezundere Shabbos. It literally is Kovei Abrocha Bifnei Atzmai. You have to understand the Machshava, the Pnimi Yisrael Inyan. But we're on to something, I think, right? You see, it's its own Shabbos. We know that the Torah was supposed to be given on Vav Sivan. What happened? Moshe was Moshe Yermecha Midaitai. And because he was Moshe Yermecha Midaitai, the Torah ended up being given on Zion Sivan. Zion Sivan was Shabbos. But had Moshe not been Moshe Yom Echad Midaitai, then when would the Torah have been given? It would have been given on Erev Shabbos. Which means we wouldn't have had that Shabbos. We wouldn't have had the Shabbos of Matan Torah. So Shabbos, Shachris, what's the first thing we say? We're commemorating now, not the Shabbos Bereshis, not the Yom Shekulei Shabbos after Echad V'Shem Chayachad, Yenish Shabbos from Matan Torah. I don't know what that Shabbos is. We need to learn it up at some point. But that Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. Moshe ken zich freyim b'matnas chelkoi. This is all a matana from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because had Moshe not been Moshe v'yarmecha midaita, we don't have that Shabbos. Because then it would have been on Erev Shabbos. Maybe that's the oimik of Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. But the Magen Avraham brings from the Ramah Mipano, that the Ramah Mipano said, what was this idea of Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi? He said, Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to be Miramaz Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. That's what he was doing. Shvu was supposed to be on Vav Sivan. Instead, it got pushed off to Zayin Sivan. Oh, there's 2 days. If Vav is in Zayin, it's a little confusing. Yontav Sheni Shagolis. It's in Remes to Yontav Sheni Shagolis. So the Chasam Sofer, at the end of his tshuva that he wrote to Rav Shlomo Kluger, which was Dvarim Ha'omdim Beruma Shaloi L'mamish, he says, I'm going to be Messiah with a Dvar Agado. He said, it bothers me. That Moshe Rabbeinu, B'shas Kabbalas HaTeira, he's being Miramis the Golis. Nebuch the Tsaris and the Golis from Klal Yisrael, Yontav Sheni Shal Golis. He said, "Could be shots like this." The Gemara says in Masechtes Gittin, Daf Chesam and Aleph, that all the Nasin Shebiyam, the islands in the Yam, Ad Ukainis Shayochem Leretz Yisrael. Right? It's a sugi Masechtes Gittin that there's certain islands in the Mediterranean Sea. There's certain islands that are part of Eretz Yisrael. So much so that Tosfos brings a famous kasha from Rabbeinu Peter, also known as Rabbeinu Peter, but from Rabbeinu Peter, where Tais brings a kasha, he said that us that we're living in Europe, we should be chayv in Trumas and Maestras. According to one sheet in that Gemara, Eretz Yisrael extends itself all the way to the end. It's a famous kasha from Tais. But the Nas and Shebeyom were all part of Eretz Yisrael. So said the Heilig Chasam Sofer, it comes that there were parts of Eretz Yisrael that the Shulchan couldn't get to either. And those parts of Eretz Yisrael that the Shulchan couldn't get to, they would have to keep Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. They would also have to have a Yontav Sheni. Because Yontav Sheni is not a din in Chutz Moaretz. It's a din. Could the Shmuchim get there? Or could the Shmuchim not get there? So he said, being that there were places, the Nasim Shabiyam, that it was going to be very hard to get there on time, they were Rechoikim Zemizeh, so it was Loi Efshel Loi Diyah, Loi Al Yidei Masuois, Loi Al Yidei Shmuchim, they had to keep 2 days Yontif. But their 2 days Yontif, said the Chasam Sofer, wasn't Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. It was Yontif Sheni Shel Geula. That's what the Chasam Sofer said. So he said, that's how I'm going to be Messiah in this tshuva, which will be Zoicha, talking to Yontav Sheni Shal Geula, not Yontav Sheni Shal Golis. And that's what the Ramami Pano meant. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was being Meramis. The Moshe the Yamechem Yidaitei wasn't telling the Yidden about Golis. Veret Vegan Golis, Chas V'Sholom, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. We're never going to go to Golis. But even in Eretz Yisrael, there's a concept of Yontav Sheni. Yeah, Yontav Sheni Shal Golis, but Yontav Sheni Shal Geula.